So last week in chapter 2, we were introduced to Boaz, a man of great wealth and influence, who's just so happened to own the part of the field that Ruth was gleaning in. Ruth, following the reapers, picking up the remains of the grain left behind, who now herself sought after Jehovah God, was providentially led by God's divine care to Boaz's field and to Boaz himself, who had already heard about how Ruth left all behind to loyally follow and care for Naomi, her mother-in-law. Boaz instantly offered Ruth both protection and favor, instructing the young men to leave her alone and to drop extra grain on the ground for her. In verse 1 of chapter 2, we are told that Boaz was a relative of Elimelech, Naomi's deceased husband, a madah in the Hebrew, a kinsman, a blood relative of some sort, maybe a second cousin sharing the same great grandparents. But in verse 20 of chapter 2, Naomi tells Ruth that Boaz is more than a distant family member. He is a near relation or a karobe. And in the same verse, verse 20, Naomi gets even more specific and calls Boaz a close relative or a ga'al, G-A-W-A-L in Hebrew, a ga'al, which means a kinsman redeemer. Jewish writers believe Boaz was either a brother or a first cousin of Elimelech. Here we see the significance of who Boaz was to both Ruth and Naomi, and come to our first of seven major topics that we will look at in chapter 3 for you note takers, which I kind of recommend. Number 1, the role of the kinsman redeemer. The role of the kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer was a close family member given the authority and responsibility by the law of God to buy back or redeem a dead relative's property that had been sold, marry his widow, and give the firstborn son the deceased man's name and property to carry on. This law in Deuteronomy shows just how deeply God cares about the preservation of the family name and unit. We will learn much more about the role of a kinsman redeemer as our story unfolds today. We pick up in chapter 3. Ruth has gleaned in Boaz's fields until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, living with and supporting Naomi. Let's begin by reading chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young woman you are with, is he not our relative, our kinsman redeemer? In fact, he is winnowing barley at the threshing floor." Now at this point, both harvests had now ended, and it would be some time until the next harvest. Naomi knew lean times were likely ahead. She had just watched Ruth diligently glean in the fields for months, enduring long hours, hot days, hard work, humbly taking on the role of a servant, such a change from her life in Moab as the wife of a landowner. Naomi had developed a genuine concern for the welfare and well-being of her beloved Ruth. Naomi wanted to see Ruth get married and have a secure future, not one based on great toil or the ebb and flow of the harvest. Naomi showed her great love for Ruth by saying, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" Here we come to our second major topic, security. Security. This word security in the Hebrew has great meaning. It means a place of rest, a settled spot, a quiet place, a place of tranquility, a safe place. These things are represented by marriage and the home. Marriage to Boaz would bring Ruth both financial and physical security, rest from her hard labors, a settled, secure spot filled with love, peace, tranquility, and companionship. When you go home after a long day, aren't you glad to get home, take off your shoes, relax, be in a comfortable, secure place where people or even your doggy loves you? Naomi wanted that for Ruth. Naomi sought it for her. She said, "Shall I not seek security for you?" Seeking is an action word. It is a strong, intense desire that's put into an intentional act. Now, just as Naomi showed genuine love and concern, seeking security and rest for Ruth, do you realize that Jesus has done the same thing for you and for me? Jesus has showed by his intentional act on the cross his genuine love and concern for each one of us by seeking both our security and our rest. First, Jesus, for our eternal security, came and died for us, becoming our kinsman redeemer. Jesus' righteous, sinless blood is used by God to redeem or pay off all debt we owe for sins and free us from our poverty, giving us a glorious inheritance in the heavens and securing our eternal salvation. Secondly, and equally as important, Jesus' intentional act on the cross was meant not only to provide our eternal security, but was meant to provide a daily place of rest for our souls, a home to retreat to. Jesus wants every Christian here today to have a place of rest and peace in him daily. That is his role as our kinsman redeemer, providing eternal security and providing a place of rest for us each and every day. My favorite memory verse is Isaiah 30:15. "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not." In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. My dear sisters, do the trials of your lives easily fill you with anxiety? Are you often overwhelmed by the stormy waters? Do you react in stress and sometimes in anger? Are you in need of peace today or almost every day? Jesus is our source, our home and place of peace and rest. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. When your trials come, when your anxiety rises up, you must quiet your thoughts, quiet your emotions, quiet your emotions, and put your confidence entirely in Jesus, your rest, your kinsman redeemer. As you settle your heart and settle your mind and put your confidence and trust in Jesus to handle everything for you, he gives you peace. He gives you rest. He gives you the strength you need. It's like being in the eye of a storm. But you know, it's not easy to enter the rest. When our emotions are raising and our thoughts are racing and our anxiety level is up to here, we have to work to get in his rest, which is like an oxymoron. We have to wrestle our emotions down and our thoughts and our anxieties, and we have to place our thoughts on Jesus and say, he is my kinsman redeemer. He is my rest. He will take care of everything. That is his role. He will handle everything. He wants me to be in peace. He wants to take it, ladies. We have to learn to enter his rest. Jesus wants you to be strong and of good courage every day, and don't fear the storms, because he's Jehovah, the great I Am. He is everything, and he goes before you, and the word says he will never fail you or abandon you. Endure hardships as good soldiers, but be in my peace, Jesus would say to us. In returning in rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Remember, memorize Isaiah 30:15. Jesus wants to be and is supposed to be your security, your kinsman redeemer, your home and place of peace and rest every single day. Now in verse 1, Naomi wanted to see Ruth get married and have a secure future. Naomi was involving herself in a worthy cause. 1 Timothy 5:14 states, "Therefore I desire the younger widows to marry and bear children." Not only did Naomi suggest marriage to Ruth, but she also told Ruth who she should marry, Boaz. Naomi's choice of Boaz had good foundation and reason. Not only did she know that Boaz was a near kinsman redeemer, but equally as important, she had witnessed Boaz's positive overtures towards Ruth throughout the barley and wheat harvest. Boaz had gone above and beyond helping a poor widow, when besides having his servants drop grain for her on the ground, he told his servants to also let Ruth glean even among the sheaves. Boaz had properly initiated his interest in Ruth. But according to Mosaic law, it was the duty of the widow to initiate and claim her provision for a kinsman redeemer. Here we come to our third major topic of our text, claiming a kinsman redeemer. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 and 7 through 10, we read that there were occasions where the kinsman redeemer would not want to marry the widow after she initiated the process, in which case he would be dragged into court and be publicly exposed and shamed and disgraced for his disobedience to the law of God. Now, just as Ruth had to initiate the process, claiming her provision for redemption by her kinsman redeemer, every individual person alive today must do the same thing for their redemption, for their salvation. Jesus has shown his love on the cross and willingness to redeem everyone who comes to him, just like Boaz to Ruth. But Jesus will not force his redemption on anyone. Each individual must go to him and ask him for it in order to receive it, to get possession of his free gift of redemption that he willingly offers to all. Have you asked Jesus to be your redeemer, to forgive you of all of your sins and pay off the debt of hell and death that only he can pay off? If there's someone here today, or maybe listening to this tape later on, who has never done this, know that Jesus Christ wants to be your kinsman redeemer today, to be both your Lord and Savior. Behold, the Bible says, now is the time. Now is the day of your salvation. Don't put it off. You never know what tomorrow will bring. Your eternal security is hanging in the balance. Ask for the provision made by the kinsman redeemer. Now, moving on to verse 3 of chapter 3, here Naomi tells Ruth how to discreetly and wisely initiate her claim and desire for Boaz to be her kinsman redeemer. Naomi in verse 3 tells Ruth, "Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." Now, it's highly probable until this point in time, Ruth had been wearing widow's clothes, garments of mourning out of respect for her dead husband. But time had passed. the wounds of her loss healed, and her heart was awakening for another. It was time to remove the old garments of the past and put on the new garments of the future, to put on her wedding dress, so to speak, for all things were about to pass away and all things were about to become new. In Isaiah 61:10, there is a wonderful scripture that gives us a picture of this salvation dress. It says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." Now Ruth was told to go to the threshing floor where Boaz was winnowing barley that night. The threshing floor was set in an open field, in an area designed to get the full exposure to the night winds. It was usually constructed close to a city to help protect against roving bands of thieves coming to try to steal the grain, which is a very common occurrence during the time of Judges. The threshing floor was level and circular, about 30 to 50 feet in diameter. The sheaves, or the stalks of grain gathered in the fields, were placed on the threshing floor where oxen would walk around and around in a circle, threshing out or crushing the grain from the stalks. The grain was then winnowed or pitched into the air with a rake so that the chaff or the husk would be blown away from the grain. Boaz was winnowing with his neighbors, with his laborers. The night of winnowing was also a time of celebration for the city. Many would gather at the threshing floor with their families to watch and rejoice, celebrating the abundant harvest that the Lord had brought. Again in verse 3, Naomi was told to go to the threshing floor, but not to make herself known to Boaz until he finished eating and drinking. With many people gathered in celebration, the cover of darkness, and her change of clothing and appearance, it would have been easy for Ruth to remain unnoticed. In verses 4 through 7, Naomi continues to instruct Ruth by saying, verse 4, "Then it shall be, when he, Boaz, lies down, that you shall go to the place where he lies, and you shall uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she said to her, "All that you say to me I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drank and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain and came softly, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Winnowing would take many hours. It would be well into the evening before Boaz and his laborers completed their task and ate and drank. Now, not only would Boaz and his men be sleeping on the threshing floor, it was customary for the families who had come out to celebrate that evening with women and children to sleep there overnight as well, being safer than returning to the city in the dark. The threshing floor was not a place of privacy, and it was not considered immodest or questionable to be sleeping on the threshing floor. Naomi was not putting Ruth in a compromising position by sending her there. Rather, it was an ideal location for Ruth to let Boaz know her desire for him to be her kinsman redeemer. There was nothing sexual or seductive in Ruth's actions. In fact, we will see in verse 10, Boaz's response to Ruth's actions that night was one of wholehearted approval and respect, removing any appearance of evil. In verse 4, Ruth was told, "Notice the place where Boaz was sleeping and go uncover his feet and lie down at his feet." Here we come to our fourth major topic. Lying at the feet. What does this symbolize? It was customary at that time for servants to sleep at the feet of their masters, always ready to receive their master's instructions. A bondservant was the property of their master. By lying down at Boaz's feet, Ruth was humbly and modestly saying, I want to be your property. I want you to buy me, redeem me, liberate me from my poverty. By lying at Boaz's feet, Ruth demonstrated a beautiful act of total submission, yielding and trusting her will and life completely to another. This is a true picture of the moment of salvation for every Christian, when a person fully surrenders their life and will to Jesus Christ. This is also an example of what a Christian's daily life with Jesus is supposed to look like, sitting at his feet each and every day as humble servants, meditating on his words from the Bible, ready to yield and obey, fully trusting, not resistant, no selfish interests or pursuits. By lying at Boaz's feet, Ruth was both proposing marriage to Boaz and demonstrating the marriage relationship. Ruth gave the perfect example of what God intended marriage between a husband and wife to be. A wife in humble and happy submission to her husband, yielding and trusting her will to him as her cover. In verse 4, Ruth was told to uncover Boaz's feet. Here we come to our fifth topic, the cover. The cover. The husband is to be the wife's blanket or cover, her protector. Looking ahead to verse 9, we see that Ruth says to Boaz, take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Now that word wing, kanaf, means wing of a garment or of bed clothing. Ruth was saying to Boaz, just give me the edge of your blanket to cover me, and I will be safe and secure. Be my cover. Such lowliness of mind. Oh, ladies, I can't tell you how much I wish I had that same attitude towards my husband each and every day, realizing that God gave my husband to me as my cover, my protector, and my place of rest. Now, you would think after 34 years of a Christian marriage, I would have this down by about now, but no, not the case. On the contrary, the older I get in the Lord, the more layers God reveals in my sinful heart, the more changes of character he shows me are needed towards my husband. This past year, my prayer, my focus, and my failures have been centered on how I respond to my husband's directions, guidance, and requests. Now, in our inductive Bible study, we make a personal plan to carry out each week. There's my inductive girls right there. And we make a plan based on the scriptures that week that we're studying. And I'd like to read to you my typed out plan from a week last spring that I made in Bible study. I still keep a copy of this in my sink, in my bathroom, and in my car, so I could keep reminding myself. This is what it reads. Maria, God wants Maria to be submissive to Jim, her cover, ready to conform to his authority and will meekly, in a quiet, gentle manner, compliant, yielding, accommodating, unassertive, non-resistive, obedient, not domineering, intractable, or thorny and obstinate, but rather with a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility as his support, and helping him to carry his burden. Clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. My dear ladies, my dear married ladies, are you struggling in your marriage with submission? Struggling to trust and listen to your husband's advice and direction, thus not allowing him to be your daily cover, a place of security, rest, and really beautiful peace? Do you resist? Do you fight? Do you question him every step of the way? God's design for your marriage is that you respectfully, quickly, and naturally submit to your husband, willingly, joyfully, under the cover of his protection, which is your place of ease and peace and strength. These changes in our character do not come overnight. It has taken me tons of prayer and much repentance and continuing ongoing prayer, but I am determined to allow God to root out of my heart and character every bit of resistance and lack of respect and trust that I show my husband, every bit of my pride and strong will. Married ladies, God provided our husbands to be our cover, protector, and rest. Trust your husband. Let him be all he's meant to be and fulfill his God-given role. Now let's pick up our story in verse 7, reading verses 7 through 10. After Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down and at the end of the heap of grain. And she, Ruth, came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" She answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, under the corner of your blanket, for you are a close relative, a kinsman redeemer." Verse 10, then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich." Notice in verse 10 that Boaz's response to Ruth's actions at the threshing floor was to bless her and praise her, not a hint of reproval for any wrong actions. Boaz told Ruth that she showed more kindness at the end than at the beginning. What did he mean by that? In the beginning, Ruth had showed amazing love for her deceased husband, Malone, by remaining loyal to and loving his mother, Naomi, and following her back to Bethlehem and working hard to support and care for her. Now at the end, Ruth was showing the greatest instance of love so far to her departed husband and to Naomi by her willingness to marry a kinsman redeemer, Boaz, a much older man, in order to retain the family land and inheritance and raise up a child to carry on the family name. Ruth could have easily pursued her own will and desires by seeking marriage with a younger man of her choice, not a kinsman redeemer. Instead, she chose to obey God's will and to follow Naomi's directions, showing more kindness at the end than at the beginning. In verse 11, Boaz goes on to say to Ruth, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do all that you request, for all the people of my town know you are a virtuous woman." Here we come to our sixth topic, a willing redeemer, a willing redeemer. "I will do all that you request." Boaz was 100% willing to be Ruth's kinsman redeemer. Did you know that Jesus is 100% willing to be your redeemer, your kinsman redeemer? Jesus said in John 6:37, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." I love how the Amplified Version puts this verse. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will most certainly not cast out. I will never, never reject anyone who follows me." If you are unsaved or a backslidden Christian, distant from the Lord, toiling under guilt or shame, Jesus always is standing, waiting with open arms, offering forgiveness for the repentant heart and help in time of need. There is no sin too great, no life too far gone, no addiction too strong for Jesus. Christian, if you think Jesus is about to kick you to the curb because of your failures, cast you out, reject you, abandon you for any reason. This is a lie from Satan trying to push you away from the Savior's arms. In John 6:39, Jesus said, This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, no one, but that I give new life and I raise it up on the last day. Sisters, there is no secret sin or failure that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He is 100% willing to be your kinsman redeemer each and every day. Go to the Savior's open arms. He is faithful to forgive and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, continuing in verse 11, after Boaz tells Ruth, "Do not fear, I will do for you all that you request," Boaz goes on to say, "For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." Our seventh and final major topic, a virtuous woman. Wow, all the people in Bethlehem knew about Ruth's great character. This reminds me of Matthew 5:16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Ruth surely let her light shine brightly. What virtues did people see in Ruth? What moral excellence stood out in her life? Here's a list of six virtues we can easily see. First, we know Ruth was loyal, lovingly and unselfishly devoted to Naomi and her care. Ruth said, and she meant, "Let nothing but death separate us." Secondly, Ruth was courageous and brave in the face of difficulty, leaving her country and family and going to a foreign and potentially hostile land. Third, Ruth was industrious. She took initiative to go out into the fields to work and was both diligent and a hard worker. Fourthly, Ruth was both humble and thankful, falling to her feet and bowing her face down to the ground before Boaz after he told her to glean only in his fields and offered her water and protection. Fifthly, Ruth was bold and obedient by going to the threshing floor and requesting Boaz to be her kinsman redeemer. And sixthly, and most importantly, Ruth became a true follower and disciple of Jehovah God, in whom she put her complete trust. So loyal and lovingly devoted, courageous and brave in adversity, industrious, took initiative, hard worker, humble and thankful, bold and obedient, a true follower of Jehovah, her Redeemer, in whom Ruth put her complete trust and found her rest. What awesome attributes. What an awesome role model Ruth is for us. We never see her complain, never see her act pridefully or deserving. She is a true picture of Jesus Christ. Let's end our study today by reading and examining our final two verses, verses 12 and 13. In verse 12, Boaz says to Ruth, "Now it is true I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning." So Boaz knew that he was not the closest relative in line to be Ruth's kinsman redeemer. It appears that Boaz had been thinking about this situation for a while, which means that Boaz had desired for some time to be Ruth's redeemer and husband. But instead of forcing his right of redemption on Ruth, he allowed her to decide for herself. Boaz was going to follow God's law completely and speak to the nearer kinsman, trusting God with the outcome. He told Ruth to stay until the morning. This would keep Ruth safe from walking home late at night in the dark, and it would keep her unseen, her visit and actions unknown. Ruth would leave early in the morning before one could recognize another. All of this would prudently give Boaz a chance to talk to the nearer kinsman redeemer in the morning before any premature word spread that Boaz was going to be Ruth's kinsman redeemer, just in case the nearer kinsman decided to redeem the property and Ruth. What a story so far, huh? With the best is yet to come. So many points in our passage to consider today. Let's pray now and ask God to work in each one of our hearts and lives, letting the things we have heard today and we've learned from His Word, asking God to let them take deep root within us. Okay, let's pray.